Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets you'll see in December. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment, just your curiosity. December is the month of the solstice, when the sun appears farthest south in the sky. That means winter for us and summer for Australians. This year, the December solstice comes at 12:11 p.m. on the 21st. You know, virtually every culture has celebrated the winter solstice as a seasonal turning point, a sign that brighter, longer days lie ahead. But none of them celebrates the solstice because it's the longest stargazing night of the year. The truth is that December is one of the best times of the year to watch the stars. For one thing, unlike much of summer, you step outside and the air just looks clean, and clean air makes the stars and planets easier to see. Then you factor in what this season has to offer overhead, which is a lot. And it gets dark early, by 5 p.m. in most places. Heck, I sometimes try to sneak in a little stargazing before supper. So let's start by looking to the southwest. If you've got a clear view in that direction, look for Venus, a diamond-like beacon hanging low in the twilight above and left of where the sun set. It's dazzling and unmistakable. In fact, right now, Venus is shining as brightly as it possibly can. Clench your fist and hold it at arm's length. That fist covers about 10 degrees of sky, and it makes a handy tool, no pun intended, for measuring distances among the stars and planets. So, for example, during twilight, Venus is about 1.5 fists from the horizon as December begins, but it's only a half fist up by New Year's Eve. So we're bidding Venus adieu this month, bringing to a close its lovely addition to our evening sky for the past several months. Now check out the celestial real estate above Venus. We might be on winter's doorstep, but the evening sky up there is still hanging on to some of the stars of summer. For example, look well to the upper right of where the sun sets, about halfway up in the sky. That bright, icy white star is Vega, which is sometimes called the summer star because it rides high in the sky during balmy evenings in July and August. But now it's low in the west, as if deflated by the oncoming cold. Catch it soon, after dark, before it sets for good until next summer. Above Vega, by about 1.5 fists, is a slightly dimmer star called Deneb. It forms the head of the Northern Cross, which stands more or less upright during the evening at this time of year. Do you see it? The cross is about 2 fists tall. This is what astronomers call an asterism, a pattern of stars like the Big Dipper that's easy to spot but not really a full-fledged constellation. Now swing completely around until you're facing east. Around 8 p.m. in early December, and by 6 p.m. at month's end, you can take in what Sky and Telescope columnist Fred Schaff calls a tower of brilliance that starts near the horizon and climbs all the way up to overhead. Start low down with Orion and the easy-to-spot vertical trio of stars that mark his belt. To Orion's left, by a couple of fists, are the twins of Gemini, anchored by the stars Castor and, below it, slightly brighter Pollux. Now, midway between Orion and Gemini this year is the unmistakable beacon of Jupiter. The king of planets will be its closest to Earth in early January, and so throughout December it's nearly as bright as it can get. Even the dazzling stars of Orion pale by comparison. Above Orion is Taurus the Bull, whose angry eye is marked by the reddish superstar Aldebaran. On the 15th, just before it's full, the moon passes several degrees north of Aldebaran. After the moon has left the neighborhood, look a little more than 1 fist above this star for a fuzzy patch of light. This is the Pleiades, a tight little nest of stars. Sometimes they're called the Seven Sisters. If you've got decently sharp eyesight, you'll see that the 6 brightest stars of the Pleiades form a tiny dipper shape. Don't confuse this with the real Little Dipper, which is much bigger and located due north in the sky. To Aldebaran's upper left is the bright star Capella. This is the alpha star in the constellation Auriga, which you can make out as a broad, misshapen hexagon with Capella at its top. Now, Auriga has a split personality. He's either a charioteer or a goat herder, depending on whom you ask. Capella means she-goat, and just to its right is a faint, narrow triangle of stars, sometimes called the kids, as in baby goats. Continue upward and a little to the right of Capella to spot a loose chain of stars that's about 2 fists long, which mark the mythical hero Perseus. And directly overhead is Andromeda, the chained maiden in Greek mythology. Her mother, Queen Cassiopeia, is a bright zigzag of five stars to Andromeda's left, toward north. Now, I always circle two dates on my December calendar. One is for the solstice, and the other is for the Geminid meteor shower, which this year will be at its best on the night of December 13th. During this meteor shower, you'll see more shooting stars than normal because Earth is plowing through a cloud of particles shed by a comet all along its orbit. We call this shower the Geminids because the meteors you'll see all seem to streak across the sky from the direction of Gemini. Ordinarily, astronomers can count on the Geminids to give us a pretty good show, maybe one meteor per minute from a really dark location. But this year, there'll be a lot of competition from a big, bright moon. Even so, you'll likely see some bright streaks through the sky glow. Right about now, I can hear some of you saying, "Hey, Kelly, what about Comet Ison?" Don't worry, I didn't forget. This already famous visitor makes a hairpin turn around the sun, coming within 800,000 miles of its surface on November 28th. Assuming that that close encounter doesn't destroy the comet, it should rapidly climb northward in our sky and be visible before dawn the following week. You'll want to have a viewing site that offers a clear shot toward the east to see Ison best. So from about December 7th to the 11th, this comet, or whatever's left of it, appears progressively higher in the eastern sky as twilight begins before dawn. After that, it will be higher in a darker sky, but by then it should be fading rapidly as it recedes from the sun. You can find expert advice on where and when to look for Comet Ison in Sky and Telescope's December issue. As a warm-up exercise for the comet's visit, head out before dawn on December 1st and look low in the east about 30 minutes before sunrise. If the air is really clear, you might spot a razor-thin crescent moon neatly sandwiched between the planet Saturn, a few degrees above, and Mercury, a few below. For more details about all things astronomical, check out our website, skyandtelescope.com. Until next month, I wish you clear skies.